pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Big Daddy, Tony Davis, and Derek taking care of all the things behind the scenes. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday. Should be another exciting show. We're going to touch on golf. We're going to touch on the Hall of Fame. We're going to touch on NFL football because Daddy wouldn't show up if we didn't. And we'll also talk about the high school football scene as well. Nick Hodge, head football coach at Loup City. They're off to a 2-0 start, snapping their long losing streak in week one and with two impressive victories. Now they're going to take on Elm Creek. We'll talk with Coach Hodge about that. Dick Beechner, executive director of the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame, is going to join us in just a couple of minutes as well. And our NFL power rankings for the week, which, again, I'm sure mine will be much superb to yours, although we were kind of on the same page after week one of who we thought was set in good shape and who not. I will say this. I do have an 0-2 team in my top 10.
I as well. So I think
I'm guessing it might be the same team.
I'm thinking so.
So that's coming up in the program as well later today.
Did happen to leave three 2-0 teams out, though.
Four.
Four for you.
2-0
okay.
Teams are out. Yeah, and one of those 2-0 teams sitting in the 10 slot. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit as well. High school volleyball going on tonight. College volleyball last night. Nebraska a winner and Hastings a winner. But our first bit of problem with the Nebraska women's volleyball team, Daddy.
Troublemakers.
Yeah, we got a couple troublemakers. You know, used to say that about the football team. Couldn't have a winning football team without a few, you know, troublemakers. Well, the volleyball team... I think actually the word for the football team was criminals, but for volleyball we just call them bad deal with these sophomores in Tara Mueller and Kayla Banwarth. Neither one played, and so Coach Cook, six players and six players only last night, including Brooke Delano, her first significant action. And I don't know if you can compare this to Lance Thorell, who we're going to have on the show tomorrow, the Loomis redshirt freshman walk-on for the Husker football team. He joins us tomorrow, but his first significant playing time, had a great game against New Mexico State. This may be on the next level, taking on an 18th-ranked Kansas State team. And Brooke Delano maybe didn't have the greatest offensive game, but a great defensive game and was praised afterwards.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent time. And, you know, much is being made about the lineup with Kansas State, obviously, and then Texas this week, and the challenges that lie ahead for this volleyball team. Well, Coach Cook must not have been real worried about Kansas State. Because it doesn't...
Oh, no.
It doesn't sound like...
No.
What
no.
These girls do? Did they get all crazy and have a beer during the season?
We don't know. Coach Cook said, quote, simply put, they did not uphold the standards that we asked them to uphold. They made some poor choices that reflected on our team, end quote. Didn't give specifics. Apparently also talked with the seniors on the team before making this decision.
They probably each got a B or something.
Didn't rule out that the players would return for Texas. This might not be a one-game suspension. This might be longer.
They'll be there for Texas, believe me. Coach Cook can
say
what
he wants. You're pooing this. A volleyball program that's never had a problem, to my recollection, and you're pooing this.
I think that it probably was not something real big, obviously.
You think? Suspending two girls, starters, for a top 20 match, considering that there's only two teams really in this conference that Nebraska has to really get up for, you know, mentally, it would seem, and that's Kansas State and Texas, even though Iowa State is a team that's getting votes in the poll. So, and on the road, to start the season, yeah, we don't need you. You're out of your skull.
They were dressed. They were on the bench.
Out of your skull.
They weren't. It wasn't like they left them at home. if it had been a big deal, they wouldn't have taken him on the bus to Kansas State. They were dressed full uniform, cheering their teammates on, showing their support. I'm guessing they got all crazy, and being sophomore girls, they got all crazy and had a beer. And somehow Coach Cook found out about it. Ooh. Burn.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow. Your thoughts on...
This free... These are college kids. I know that they're held to a higher standard, but come on.
You know, unlike you, these kids don't have as much time socially, you know, as you did in your 12 years of college to
fair
you know,
enough.
Study, practice, play, travel, and then, you know, try and
So when they do have some time, I don't get upset if they get all crazy and have a beer.
You're just assuming that's what the problem was.
I don't know what the problem. I'm just saying it wasn't that big of a deal, or they wouldn't have been at Kansas State last night.
1-888-455-ESPN, or you can email us anytime, DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Dick Buechner joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, head golf coach at UNK, but his capacity today, more in part as the executive director of the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame. Their induction ceremonies are coming up, as always, at the Leeds Center in Lincoln on September the 28th. Dick, good morning. Great to see you.
Good to see you guys, and we'll never know really what they did, Tony. I think that's a little bit too bad in this day and age. We really don't know what the violation was, because here you guys are speculating, and Tony doesn't think it's too serious. Coach Doug does. I probably do too, but I think it's too bad because it lets our imagination run with all these violations and we never really know what the problem is. So anyway, privacy acts are interesting, and I am glad to be here and glad to be on a program that Bob Jensen's on and Stu Pobosil and Babcock. And I'm surprised you guys aren't on one of these TV programs because we're seeing so much football, they're running out of announcers, guys.
Well, we need another network, apparently.
Well, probably, yeah.
I mean, I don't even recognize some of the names that I see on television that are the play-by-play people and the analysis. But that's not why we're here. We're here to talk a little bit about the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame, and we appreciate the opportunity to be on. And it's going to be the 28th of September at the Leeds Center in Lincoln, Nebraska. And the doors open at 12, and the proceedings start at 1:30. And I think we have another wonderful class. But the thing about the Hall of Fame is that, you know, fame is fleeting, and you may not recognize some of the names. I happen to be old enough to have been around when some of these people played, but we might mention a couple of the people that come from our area. And Kurt Lauer was an outstanding basketball player from Gibbon, and I happen to see Kurt play, and I think Skeen, a local contractor here, might have made Kurt Lauer really what he was because he was an outstanding guard. But Kurt scored 59 points in one game. That's not why he's in the Hall of Fame. He was a good, steady player. I think he went over to Hastings College. Now lives in Ohio. But scoring that many points when the three-point play wasn't in existence, and he did score, I think, 960-some points in the 63-64 basketball season. But we're going to bring up another person who both of you know. That's Bill Holliday. From Wilsonville, that still holds a record in the state of Nebraska way before the two-pointer was ever in existence. And I don't know how many points Bill would have scored if the three-pointer would have been around, but I'm not sure you and I can count that high, Tony. But
yeah,
anyway, there have been a lot of points.
Yeah, it's an amazing feat. And I mentioned on this show, when you bring up Bill Holliday, every year I go to the state tournament and I open up and look at the state records. And Bill Holliday and that 2,400 or something, obviously playing a lot when you're a freshman, sophomore, which a lot of people don't have that opportunity right, like Bill had. But the amount of points which he was able to rack up over his career is simply amazing.
It really is. And another person, I think this is the second person out of Aurora. Tom Kropp is the first inductee into the Hall of Fame, is Tom Hazy. And Tom was an Athlete of the Year. And I happened to see the two leading long jumps in Nebraska, Gale Sayers and Bobby Williams, in the old indoor track down in Nebraska. There was so much water in the track that day they had to move the long jump inside. And it couldn't happen today, but Frank Schmagas, who no longer is with us, was the coach at Omaha Central, both football and track. And he put his handkerchief out there at about 25 feet. And he couldn't do that today because it's not legal. So Sayers really hit the handkerchief and beat Williams in the last jump. And I think it's also interesting about athletes. Kent McLuhan, Bobby Williams, and Gale Sayers were all seniors at the same time, and Kent McLuhan was the athlete of the year. And I'd say that Gale Sayers and Bobby Williams were pretty good athletes as well. So just because you weren't the athlete of the year doesn't mean that you weren't an outstanding athlete.
Dick Beechner is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're talking about the Hall of Fame. And I guess the one thing, Dick, that a lot of people, if they're not familiar, you have to be out 15 years from high school to be eligible. But this year we didn't just necessarily have a whole bunch of kids that were graduates in 1993. And you've already pointed out a couple of great athletes that are from different eras. And we've got folks from 90 and Corey Schlesinger, and we've got a couple from 93. And you've got them all the way back in the 20s and 30s.
So people do slip through the cracks. But let's talk about Corey for a minute. I don't know whether you ever saw Corey play. I saw him play up here at Foster Field for Columbus High, and he was an outstanding fullback and linebacker and an outstanding wrestler. And at the time, if anybody would have told me he would have played for the Lions for 10 years, I probably would have said, hey, now wait a minute. But he has played for the Lions, just retired. I did visit with him last week in Detroit, and he's trying to help young kids out through a mentoring program, which is very respectful. But he carried the ball when fullbacks did carry the ball a little bit, but he did also catch a lot of passes. Another person that probably should have been in the Hall of Fame, kind of from Tony's area, is Larry Vlasheen. And when I coached out at Hiram Scott in the 60s, late 60s, Larry was an outstanding running back at Madrid. And he averaged 398 yards a game. And I think there was a defense on the field. I'm not sure.
Bill Callahan was running it, apparently.
but they did give the pig to a running back occasionally. And Larry coached basketball at McCook for a while, and now he's a stockbroker in McCook. But he went on to play professional baseball right after he got out of Madrid. And then after he hurt his arm, he went to Chadron and was an outstanding basketball player out there. So he's a very deserving person. A guy from your area, we have a contributor always, Mark Allman, went in a year or so ago. Con Marshall's probably been the link between Western Nebraska and Eastern Nebraska in terms of feeding information out of the high schools and, of course, Chadron State. You talked about volleyball. Nikki Stricker Best was an outstanding volleyball player at Nebraska. It's amazing to me how many good volleyball players come out of our state. And if you guys happen to look at the roster for South Dakota the other night, there were five girls from the state of Nebraska on South Dakota's team. And that's any state that's contingent to Nebraska has a lot of girls that have played high school volleyball in the state of Nebraska. But the Hall of Fame started out at Gothenburg Guys in 1994, and they were going to build a facility out there, and Steve Windham was the first president. And this is our 14th induction ceremony. We moved it from the train station in Lincoln over to the Lead Center, and we usually have about 750 to 800 people. And probably the biggest thing is, you see on our newsletter here, is a picture of the NSAA building, which is right across from the Haymarket Ballpark in Lincoln. And we're finally going to have a home. Now we have to raise about $1 million in order to do what we want to do. And one of the things that we want to do is to have a kiosk that will have all the high schools in Nebraska, whether they're in existence or not. I think that there's some 300 schools in Nebraska. We used to have more school districts than any place in the nation. And we want to make sure that we treat those people that are no longer in existence like we did the ones that are. For example, Hardy or Madrid, because they had a history. And so we hope to have a kiosk where Tony can come in and punch Cambridge and play the fight song. And then he can see whether or not he's in the statistics or not, what he actually did there. But we think that this will be really an interesting kiosk. Iowa over in Des Moines has done this, and I think that it's gained a lot of recognition when people come in, because people do like to know what's going on in their own high school.
Dick Beechner joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Executive Director of the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame. Again, their induction ceremony is coming up a week from Sunday. That is the 28th of September. And, Daddy, some other folks that are going in, they also have the special teams. The Fisher Family Award is going to the Bohr Family of Albion. The McCook Red Willow football, basketball, and track squads are one of the golden anniversary teams from outside our listening area, or on a fringe of our listening area, I should say. And then, you know, Randall Carter going 7-4 in the high jump just a year ago at the state track meet.
Pretty impressive.
Recognized as well.
Just mention one thing. If people are interested, the tickets are $25 for adults, $10 for students. The Nebraska Sports Council has been very good to us in helping us with facilitating the tickets. If they're interested, they can call the Nebraska Sports Council, 800-304-2637 or 402-471-2544 for tickets. So we hope there'll be a good crowd there. And it's always been a very interesting ceremony in the past, and I'm sure this won't be any different.
Dick, have you guys taken it upon yourself, being new, like you mentioned this idea came from Iowa, have you visited other places? Have people been to other high school Hall of Fames or other Hall of Fames that you've got ideas from?
I've personally visited the Iowa Hall of Fame over in Des Moines. Bernie Sagal, the former executive director of the Iowa Association, spearheaded that, and they raised $13.5 million. It's impressive, but it's pretty glitzy. I visited the Texas Hall of Fame in Waco. It's a total Hall of Fame. The high school people are put over in the corner a little bit. Bob Hansen's a good friend of mine. They moved the Kansas one from Abilene over to Wichita. They have a nice Hall of Fame. So we have visited some others. I visited the Missouri Hall of Fame. It's on the way to Kabul out of Springfield, and not too many people go to Kabul, so they could probably have a little better activity if it wasn't on that road. But, yes, we've gotten some ideas and some of our other people, and we've talked to Don Bryant quite a bit, who has been to a lot of Hall of Fames, as well as Charlie Meyer and Bill and Jim Abel and Lincoln, who visited the Yogi Berra the Hall of Fame. So, yes, we've looked at that, and we're excited about it. As I said, we have another outstanding class. We've talked about people primarily here in the state of in central Nebraska, but there are people all from all over the state.
I think Derek tells me we've got a question for Dick at 1-888-455-ESPN.
We have Gary from Kearney on the line for Dick.
Gary, good morning. What's your question?
Good morning. Actually, it's not a question, it's sort of a statement. Beach is really high on some of these kids from Gibbon, like skiing and that kind of thing. And he's forgetting, of course, about the great athletes from Ravenna. That drown kid or whatever, and I'm sure he'd like to comment on that, too.
Let's just drown out your voice, drown.
Okay.
Gary's a good friend of mine, and we had a lot of fun in Scott's Bluff when he was the play-by-play, and I tried to do a little color, and that wasn't very good. But we did have a blind person that did statistics, fellas, and he could do it faster than Drown and I could together by the name of Mel Sauer. So if there's an athlete over there other than yourself, Gary, why don't you nominate them for the Hall of Fame?
Sounds good.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 1-888-455-ESPN. We're talking with Dick Beechner from the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame, among his many hats.
Yeah, Dick, this is something. If people want to nominate or think somebody is deserving, and you mentioned people slip through the cracks, 15 years out of high school, that is a basic requirement.
And again, Daddy's been out of high school 15 years. If I've got to point that out, I mean, I am pointing that out. I don't
know if we could find somebody to nominate him anyway.
Yeah, that would be the problem. And, the obvious one, and I bring this up every year, that speaks to me, and it was because it was in that 92 class, is, of course, Adam True, the great basketball player, great football player, still plays with the Oakland Raiders, Lincoln Pius. A graduate, but that's the obvious one that stands out.
Yeah,
to me.
I don't think that he's been nominated, and if a person wants to nominate someone, they can go to our website, or they can contact me, and I'll send them a nomination form. It's NEBBHALO of Fame .org, if I remember correctly, and they could go to our website. I would like to mention just a couple more things before we get off. You guys get rid of me, but I'm also part of the Nebraska Golf Hall of Fame. And a lot of people don't realize that we do have some members of the Nebraska Golf Hall of Fame right here from Kearney, Nebraska. Dan Bohinsky comes to mind, who was a great player at Kearney and the university and did a good job in state competition. Elmer McKinney, brother Wayne, was an outstanding player, went on to Texas Tech. Don Treadway from the Kearney Country Club was honored a year ago. And this year we're going to honor Dottie Bowman, who has certainly been an outstanding contributor to golf in central Nebraska and the state of golf, and played very good golf herself. So I hope there'll be some people that will support Dottie at our induction ceremony at the Country Club of Lincoln on October 7th. And if you like to play golf, you can pay $100 and play the Country Club of Lincoln and have a dinner that evening. If you're interested, just the dinner is $45. So I think if you want to show up that day, which I think Tuesday is October 7th, a Tuesday,
Yes, it is.
And to participate in that and really support a great person that's done a lot for golf in the state of Nebraska, and that's Dottie Bowman.
And, of course, also you've got the kids out there from UNK knocking the ball around.
Sometimes we're playing like kids and not men. And we need to be a better manager on the golf course. I think potentially we really have a good team, and because of my illness here, I've not traveled with the team, and Chad Lee took us out to Denver last week, and I told the players last night we're a lot better than what we showed out there. Part of our problem is we have a lot of competition on the team, and that's good, but it also makes it difficult to know whether or not you've got the best five players going. And I think part of our problem, both of you guys play golf, our part of our problem is finishing the round, and we start thinking about what we're going to shoot rather than the next shot. But Alex Farrell's played pretty good for us from Kearney here, and Max Haydenfeld from Gary, and Devin Castle from your old Chandelier town of Ord up there. Devin's a good player. Preston Foster from Broken Bow, Justin Onken. They have three freshmen that have really been potentially pretty good. Garrett Goldsberry from Fremont, and Justin Stananicek from Lincoln, and Chris Colzer from Wood River. So they all have a chance to help us quite a bit, and I just hope we're hosting a tournament at Meadowlark Monday and Tuesday. It's a crossover number two. Not only do we have all the RMAC schools, but we have Missouri Western from St. Joe. We have St. Concordia from St. Paul and Upper Iowa from in Iowa. So it should be a good 11- or 12-team tournament, and we're happy to host it here.
Dick, I think everybody out there is wondering your health concerns. How are you?
Well, you ought to go on the diet I went on, too. It's not the way to lose weight, but I lost a lot of weight, and I'm in my fourth round of chemo, and I think I'm doing pretty good, and just hopefully that the chemo will work and takes care of the cancer cells, and cancer, you know, it has no boundaries, and my wife and I thought we've done everything preventive, but sometimes those things just pop up, so we had some major surgery and going through chemo, and hopefully the doctors can cure me and not control it. So other than getting a little tired and having an afternoon nap like you, Tony, we're doing just fine.
Nothing wrong with three and a half hours.
I know. All of us don't have our days and nights mixed up.
Again, Dick Beecher joining us, talking golf from a Nebraska perspective, UNK, and, of course, the highlight today, the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame. Again, the induction ceremonies, the Lead Center, Lincoln, September 28th. You can go to nebhalloffame.com for more information. nebhalloffame.com/org.
.org. The thing about that, more. Too, Doug, they can get a nomination for them so they can nominate Tony and Adam True. I don't think Adam True is playing for the Oakland Raiders anymore. He came out in a big statement this last week. Maybe he's still playing, but he's an outstanding player. And I followed the Kiffin deal pretty closely because I'm a good friend of Lane's dad, Monty, and it sounds like he's on the ice, so to speak. But what a way to work, you know? And they played a great game against
Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah, right. So the poor guy, you know, 32 years old, being the head coach in the NFL, guys. They're like baseball managers anymore. Yeah. They're expendable.
How about old Mike Shanahan getting asked yesterday if he empathizes with what Lane Kiffin's going through out there? And he kind of shrugged and he said, I sure do. Kind of the same thing.
Well, it's too bad. I mean, Al Davis probably ought to retire, you know?
He said, I made it a year and four games with Al. He's got a couple more to go, I think. I think that was his quote.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk to you guys, and you do a great job.
Well, Dick, I know a lot of people are thinking about you, a lot of thoughts and prayers out there with you and your family. So best of luck, and keep up with the chemo, and hope everything goes well for you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Dick Beechner on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll take a break, come back, and talk more right after this.
Something wrong, sir? I will not tolerate this flagrant mockery of my intelligence.
Neener, neener, neener. Doug and Daddy will be right back to further insult your intelligence.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Funner Park. race to the Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge for fantastic food and nonstop entertainment. Watch and wager on Coast to Coast Thoroughbred Racing, 11:25 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. daily. Plus, enjoy Keno, snacks, full menu dining and bar, and the Prime Rib Weekend Special. Yours for the fun of it. Father Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge, Grand Island, Husker, and NFL Headquarters.
It's the once a year, all out blowout at Kearney Yamaha. You'll save up to $4,000 that's been slashed off prices of select models of Yamaha 08 motorcycles in stock. Low financing is available. Whether you want to travel in style on the powerful 1900cc Stratoliner with locking side bags and a detachable windshield, or you want to choose from the 9 Classic Yamaha or custom V-Star models, Kearney Yamaha has the bike for you. But these incredible deals at Kearney Yamaha won't last long. It's the once a year, all out blowout going on now at Kearney Yamaha. Years of experience and a huge selection. Kearney Yamaha, Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, just south of the Kearney I-80.
Personal watercraft, ATVs, just the motorcycle that'll suit your needs. Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha. Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha.
Now here's a real eye-opener for you. Lind Eye Care of Kearney is moving. That's right. As of October 15th, their new location will be at 4107 7th Avenue. At Lind Eye Care, you can count on Dr. Lind and Dr. Bierbauer to take care of all of your vision needs, whether it's new contacts or LASIK surgery. At Lind Eye Care, they'll treat your eyes as if they were treating their own. Plan now to visit Lind Eye Care in their new location at 4107 7th Avenue, beginning on October 15th.
Sunday, it's NFL action from Music City as Jeff Fisher's Tennessee Titans play host to the Houston Texans in an AFC South matchup. This is Mark Champion of Westwood One. Join Mark Malone and me for the call from LP Field in Nashville as the Titans strive for the lead in the division. And the Texans hope to prove they're in tune for a run of their own. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
Texans Titans followed by Saints Broncos and Cowboys Packers Sunday on ESPN Radio.
We'll see sunny skies develop across the area today with high temperatures of around 83 with a south wind increasing to 12 to 25 miles per hour at times. For tonight, skies remain mostly clear with a low of 53 degrees. Then we'll head up to 82 degrees on Friday. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 70.
Work it, make it, do it, makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday. Don't forget, coming up, Nick Hodge, head football coach from Loup City, going to join us in just a couple of moments. Also, our NFL Power Rankings for the week. And tomorrow, Lance Thorell among our guests. Monday, I'm throwing it out, Monday, not only Merck and Morris, but Alex Gordon is expected to join us on Monday's program. So that's coming up next week here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you miss any of the interviews or any part of the show or say, well, I can't listen between 11 and 12, it's not an excuse, people. You can always check out the Doug and Daddy podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the Cunningham's Journal podcast, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, the Loft and Courtyard. Enjoy the few nice days that we still have left this fall out in the courtyard. And, of course, all you have to do is go to ESPNSuperstation.com, click on the podcast, and you can catch the entire show in its entirety, obviously, from any time in the past few days, weeks, or months. Well, how'd you like to be spending less time this fall outdoors?
Well, working outdoors
on your yard, anyway. You want to be outdoors, but you don't want to be trimming and mowing and then repairing the edging that you mowed over. Well, guess what? Curbid Continuous Edging lays low to the ground and makes it easy to get close with the mower. It's durable with a full one-year everything warranty when it comes to installation or material defects. Makes the yard look better than your neighbor's until he catches on. Custom colors keeps the wife happy as well. Improve the value of your home with Curbid Appeal. Just check them out online, curbid.net. They do so much more as well. Maybe you're already planning for next year. You're saying, I want this to look beautiful when the sun comes out and the grass gets all nice next year. Well, put the plan together now. The gang at curbit.net can help you out. Give them a buzz today. You can find out all the information you need at curbit.net.net.
Doug, one of those teams that started off the season 2-0 that I think a lot of people were really surprised about, along with Lexington and the way they were able to do it, Loup City Red Raiders. And I think this is a team Doug, when you start to look at things, nobody expected this just because of the run they were on, 0-21. I think if you start off the season thinking that you're going to have a lot of success, with one of the tough things to do when you start and have the struggles that Nick Hodges had, who's expected to join us shortly, is I think that the kids don't know how to win, and teaching them to win is something else. Now, their schedule the last couple of years has not helped them at all. 13 out of 16 teams they played made the playoffs, so that's not good. But to come into the season, there's so many doubts out there. I don't know if you even begin to wonder where you start with a team of molding young men to try and get the mindset right that you can have some success. But it's great that they are 2-0, and I think getting a senior-laden class is one of the exciting things for Loup City.
Maybe they can have some words of wisdom for our own.
It's peanut butter jelly time.
Kansas City Royals. They are winning late. Wins are wins. It'll make it look better next year, right? Six in a row after a 5-2 win over the Seattle Mariners last night. Take a moment.
Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Now you will miss this when baseball season is over, I guarantee it. And they finish up their four-game series this afternoon. You can hear it right here on ESPN Radio, our pregame at 12:35. And first pitch is at 1:10. Royals, Mariners wrap it up. Kansas City looking for their seventh straight win.
Ichiro last night reaching the 200-hit plateau. 3-for-3, I believe he was in the game. 200 hits for the third year in a row.
Eighth, but you're close. Nice job. Matching Willie Keeler's major league record from like 100 years ago. So big achievement for Ichiro. They're talking about him being a Hall of Famer this morning on Mike and Mike. Also last night, everybody started feeling good about Kansas State. 38-29, Louisville wins it. Knew it would be a tough game. I was surprised that K-State was favored in that one.
I just want to say, number 11 for Cincinnati, learn to catch the ball. How many passes did he drop? I mean, it almost got embarrassing. And then after he dropped one that hit him right between the numbers, they didn't want a pass interference call. Number 11, don't know his name, don't care to know his name. They're going to have to get a better receiver than him if Louisville's going to go anywhere as well. But Kansas State, you know, get off to a good start, but it's just one of those things that they couldn't finish. And for all the good things they just do dumb things on the other side of that. People running wide open down the field, and you're right, they're struggling again.
Another football note, NCAA Division II sent out their national leaders yesterday, actually. And UNK has a couple of names on there. Kyle Kaiser, who has done a great job hauling in footballs, is on the list. He has 133.6 yards per game receiving, and that is third in the nation. Third in the nation at 133.6 yards receiving. So congratulations to Kyle Kaiser for that. Jeff Carnahan's also on there for field goals per game. He's tied for seventh in the nation. The Lopers will host Adams State this weekend. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and when we come back, more football talk right after this.
And now, here's another in our series of things that happened during the Doug and Daddy Show commercial breaks that you can be glad you didn't hear.
Well, stop licking yourself. That's disgusting.
Makes you look forward to the breaks, doesn't it?
You've asked for a better day to break up the PWCs.
I know. This is great.
Whoa, whoa. What is that?
Oh, that's my new theme music. GEICO helped me save so much money on my PWC insurance, I hired a band to play my own theme song.
Huh. Do they know Freebird?
Saving you money on your PWC insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. GEICO Power Sports. Insurance for all the things that move you.
What does D stand for? Well, it could be for Dale, Denny, or even Dodge. But no. D stands for a downright dangerous drag race at one demon of a track, where drivers will dig down deep to leave everyone in their concrete dust. So D definitely doesn't stand for stopping and smelling the daisies, because when the green flag drops, D will be for one anything but dull day in Delaware.
The chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup continues on ABC with race number 2 at Dover, Sunday at 1 Eastern.
Sad but true, some people, maybe you, have delayed treatment from strains and pains because they don't have the time. At Gary Chiropractic, a limited number of appointments are scheduled each day, each with ample time to spend time with you, the patient, never overscheduled. And that means the chance of excess waiting diminishes, and the opportunity to spend more time with the doctor and less with waiting room magazines. Dr. Carey at Gary Chiropractic, an athlete herself, knows delay doesn't stop pain. So call Gary Chiropractic today at 398-2255 and let the healing begin.
Friday night means high school football, and here's what we have for you this week. On ESPN 1460, Pleasanton travels to SEM. ESPN 1550 has Columbus SCOTUS at Hastings St. Cecilia. On 1230 KHAS, Hastings High welcomes in Seward. On Power 99 FM, Overton will be at Elwood. And on the Breeze 94.5 FM, Red Cloud is at Silver Lake. And don't forget, you can hear every single game on the web. Simply log on to ESPNSuperstation.com. Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday. Got a lot to talk about. NFL Power Rankings coming up. We've already talked with Dick Beechner from the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame, the executive director, as they get ready for their induction ceremonies. You never know where the next Hall of Famer is going to come from. And it could be from a small town, could be from a big town, but they're feeling like Hall of Famers right now in Loup City, off to a 2-0 start, snapping that 21-game losing streak, and one of a handful of schools that have turned things around early on this season. We're pleased to be joined by the head football coach of the Red Raiders, Nick Hodge, on the Doug and Daddy Show. Morning, Coach.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. Things have to be feeling a lot better the last couple of weeks in Loup City. And, again, congratulations on your start.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, it has been a nice start for us. We kind of knew after last year when the schedule came out, we had some positive feelings that we could come out this year and change things around. But until you do it, you don't know how it's going to be or if it's going to happen. But we spent the summer working pretty hard, and the kids set some goals. And I mean, my main assistant coach Larry Baker and the other one, Coach Peck, they've done a lot of things this summer, this fall, to change things around, and I think we're off to a good start, but we're not done by any means.
Nick, talk a little bit about you. You're off to such a good start, but over the summer you can work as hard as you want to, but the mindset's got to happen between the ears. How did you manage that?
I think that was something that we have a good senior class, a good junior class. They've been through the doldrums, I guess, so to speak, the last couple of years, and they'd seen the fact that we'd played good people and we'd competed really well a lot of those times. It wasn't like we got blown out every single time we stepped on the field. And it was just a matter of sometimes it was a matter of a handful of plays would make a decent game turn not very good for us. And it was just a matter of coaching. Like you said, coaching is not always physical. It's a mental game, too. And just to get those kids to believe that we're not that far away. And those kids, they've experienced success in other sports, in basketball and wrestling or whatever it is, so it's not like they haven't competed well in other sports. They're just trying to get them to understand that football can be equal to some of that if we would take the time and the effort to do things a little differently. And those kids wanted to give it a try and do things a little differently, and so far we've had two different results, but I mean, we know Elm Creek's going to be a bigger challenge, so we're on to the third week, and the last 2 weeks are over.
Coach, last week we talked with Phil Truax from Lexington, whose team was in the same boat as you were. Numbers was a big part of how they helped get things better. They just got some more kids out. What have you seen that's clicked? Because let's face it, every year, whether you're a state champion or trying to get that first win in a couple of seasons, you can practice as hard as you want and go to camps and go to the weight room, but something has to click. Did you see something click for this team?
I think we saw things clicking a couple of years ago. I mean, this group, they've had success at the JV level. They've done things together as a group that way. They had success, and they transferred that into our off season. And I mean, Coach Baker is great this summer about getting them to do some things they hadn't done before and getting them to believe some things. And I think the biggest thing was just a commitment to make things different, to do things different instead of just what we've done. And I mean, it's been a long time since we'd won two games, let alone a game. So we've been through several years, not just two or three. And so it was a mindset more than anything. And they've just done things differently. And they've really have become more of a family than they were before as far as caring about what each other does instead of going about it 25 different people in 25 different ways. And they've just stuck together as a group.
You know, anytime, you know, small town has success, you see the old names that pop up, and Baduras, Jerzinkas, people like that. Your quarterback is a Badura, leads the way for you. Talk about him and his leadership ability.
Jordan, he was one of those kids. Again, some kids have done things. You asked what was different. I mean, Jordan Badura, as a freshman, was, I mean, he's probably our best receiver if we wanted to put him where he was best for himself. But he's also just a great athlete. He can do a lot of things, and he can throw the ball, he can run the ball, he can catch the ball. He's just a good football player on that side of the ball, and we needed a quarterback a couple years ago, and he was willing to take that challenge on and give up what was, I mean, he'd spent a lot of time as a receiver to be a good receiver. And we have another senior, Cale Harrington. He's playing offensive guard for us now because we needed people up front. That was one place we really needed to shore some things up. And Cale was a senior that, again, took it upon himself to sacrifice some of his own glory and ego, so to speak, and help us where we needed to be helped. And we just have, I mean, even Ryan Elsner, when he was a freshman, he was a lineman and probably our best lineman, but again, because we could shuffle things around and make some other things work, he was able to get to move to fullback and have success there. And I think that's the big thing that's happened, is we have been able to move people around where it fits the team, again, and not always just for themselves. We've had several people, but Jordan Badura as a senior has done an excellent job of being a good leader. I mean, Ryan Elves is a tremendous leader. I mean, that senior class is not only are they a good group of, you know, football players so far out this year, but they're just a good group of people, and that is another thing that's translated from just going from school to sports and in the community. They're just good people, and they do things the right way, and sports is important to them, and they're putting in the effort.
Loop City head football coach Nick Hodge is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As you're quick to point out, Coach, you knew when this came out there was an opportunity to win maybe both of your first two ball games because it just happened to be a little pool there where everybody had struggled the last year or two. Now you get a maybe your first true test, as you said, with Elm Creek. As you get ready for them, what do you see?
Elm Creek's tremendous. I mean, they're great skill people in their backfield. They're always physical up front. They're always good football players. Stan Whistle coach teams are always very sound up front and very tough, very physical, very, I mean, physicality is something we always talk about with our kids, that we've got to match the physicalness of people and not just let people push us around. I think that had happened in the past. So we've been more physical in practice as much as we can, and I mean, that's something that Coach Whistle, they'll be our best team that we played, and we know that, and we're not, I mean, I told Stan that on Saturday when we met. I mean, I'm not hiding any facts about that. I mean, we knew when the schedule came out, it's kind of like Nebraska's schedule. I mean, we knew the first couple of games are ones we had to have if any of our other goals were going to work. And fortunately for us, those two games worked out, and now we're on to bigger and better things, we hope.
Coach, you have goals that you would want to share with us at this time?
I mean, there's some of them are kind of obvious, but I mean, this group met again in May when we had a camp here when school got out. We had a little team camp. The last day, we just sat down with them and we left the room and let them talk things out. And one of the things they wanted to do, they wanted to become a family over the summer. They wanted to win games at a team camp we went to, which we did that. We went 3-2 there and won our last two on that one. They wanted to meet in the weight room every day at 6 o'clock in the morning, and a vast majority of them did that, much more than we had in the summer past, which I think that's made a huge difference. They wanted to win the first game because they knew if they didn't win the first game, no matter who it was, but just the way it worked out, we had to win the first game to do anything else, just to get that mental thing off of our back that's been on there for a couple of years. I mean, just and build momentum, and that implied winning the second game. So, I mean, we've already met some of those goals, and obviously as we get down that goal list, there's other things that are bigger in mind, and one of the things was, I mean, we had to have the debate here about 8 or 11 man football when that schedule switched last year. And again, there's some people that really thought we should be 8 man just because we only have 25 or 26 kids consistently going out. That's an 8 man roster, not an 11 man roster. But we would have been ineligible for the playoffs because our enrollment was like too many than we could have to do that. But the kids didn't want to be seen as quitters. They didn't want to be seen as giving up on 11 man and go out on a long losing streak that way. They wanted to have a shot because, again, the seniors, I mean, it's a big group of seniors, big group of juniors that have played a lot, and they just thought they really wanted to have that opportunity, and that was another factor in there as far as the goals they had was to make some of those things pan out. But we also asked them to commit then to doing things differently if they wanted to do that because just to show up again in August wasn't going to work. And they've done things differently, and so far some of their goals have worked out, and we're still on track for some of the other ones. I mean, just our two wins is more than any team's had here since 2002, and that was the last time we were in the playoffs, and that's when it was one of the treks down the list of our goals. Was, I mean, we had to do certain things, win our first one, win our second one, before any of those other things would even be a possibility. And, you know, that's one of the things those kids are still shooting for, was the chance to be in the playoffs. And again, we know that's a big picture still, but that's still something these kids wanted to have the opportunity to do, and they still have that.
Well, Nick, hey, great start for you and the kids. We appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and take care of Baker, would you?
I'll try that.
Hey, bud, take care, and best of luck against Elm Creek.
All right, we'll see you.
Nick Hodge, head football coach of the Loup City Red Raiders, looking to start 3-0. We had Phil Truax on last week, and they went out and got a win for Lexington. We'll see if Loup City does the same.
Much different animal, I think. And we'll see how they compare and how they stack up against Elm Creek. But interesting matchup.
There's going to be some big old boys doing some hitting on Friday night. We're going to take a break when we come back. NFL power rankings after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Let's open the mouth. Let the words out.
Unfortunately, this happens altogether too often.
Hey! All you farmers out there, are you listening? I know a lot of you are still irrigating, but before you know it, it'll be time to hit the fields for harvest, and the last thing you want to worry about is your ATV breaking down. So get into Kearney Yamaha now. Let their service department guys make sure your ATV is working as hard as you'll be this fall. And be sure to check out the lineup of new 2009 Yamaha ATVs. There's no need to wait until after harvest with Kearney Yamaha's Buy Now, Pay Later program. Going on right now on all new Yamaha ATVs. So what are you waiting for? Get into Kearney Yamaha today before harvest. Kearney Yamaha, years of experience and huge selection, just south of the Kearney I-80.
Personal watercraft, ATVs, just the motorcycle that'll suit your needs. Nebraska's power sports mall, Kearney Yamaha. Nebraska's power sports mall, Kearney Yamaha.
Fall is a great time of year to work in the yard, and you can do your lawn a world of good by giving it the nutrients it needs to stay healthy this winter. Hi, I'm Matt from Builders. Join me this Saturday at 11 for a lawn winterizing workshop with step-by-step instructions to give your lawn a head start next spring. Plus, you won't want to miss our fall cleanup sale on everything you need to give your yard a good cleaning before the snow flies. Come in this weekend and let us show you why we say Builders does lawn care best.
Builders does it best.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see sunny skies develop across the area today with high temperatures of around 83 with a south wind increasing to 12 to 25 miles per hour at times. For tonight, skies remain mostly clear with a low of 53 degrees. Then we'll head up to 82 degrees on Friday. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 70.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where our friends at Monday Night Football would like to remind you that it's Hispanic Month. Appreciation Month. Hey, gang, it's lunchtime. How about Big City Burrito? It's the new kid on the block at 28th and 2nd Avenue in Kearney, where you walk in hungry and walk out happy, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or as some of us or most of us call it, supper. They are there for you, open until 9 o'clock Monday through Saturday at Big City Burrito. Open weekday mornings at 7:30, Saturday at 9. At Big City Burrito, every ingredient is perfectly seasoned with secret recipes, and each burrito built just for you. Because you choose every part of it. So they're not. It's impossible to have something on there you don't like. And if you do, it's your fault because you picked it. From the type of tortilla to each fresh made-from-scratch filling, they've got it for you. You start with the tortilla, then the cheese. If you want some rice and beans, cool. The fillings, which is the meat. Salsa. sour cream, guacamole, hot sauce, whatever you want on it. Stop by and see them. And don't forget to ask about their Big City Burrito rewards card. You can eat free as a frequent customer of Big City Burrito. No microwaves or freezers. Everything is fresh because everything you crave and nothing you don't want, that's what they have at Big City Burrito, located at 28th and 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Try them today. Take some on the road if you're going to a volleyball game tonight, football game over the weekend. Wherever you're going, there's always room to pack Big City Burrito. Time now for our Week 2 NFL Power Ranking.
Doug, at number 10, I drop out the Jacksonville Jaguars. I enter in the Denver Broncos. Yes, 2-0 Denver Broncos. They lead the NFL in total offense. One of the reasons I've got them at number 10. At number 9, I move up the Buffalo Bills. 2-0, although I think the Jacksonville Jaguars were a beat-up team, but they did dominate them. Number 9, the Buffalo Bills. At number 8, I've got the New England Patriots. Brady Castle, it doesn't seem to matter how they beat the Jets like they did. Is just what they do at New England, I guess. Win, win, and more wins. At number 7, I've got the San Diego Superchargers. 0-2 team. Both losses, I say, are flukes, and I think they're a much better football team. I think they will prove that. At number 6, I've got the quarterback undoubtedly with the most pressure ending the season, standing at 2-0, the Green Bay Packers, and Mr. Aaron Rodgers. He is at number 6 on my NFL power rankings for Week 2. Number 5, I've got the Indianapolis Colts coming back 15-0 down to win at Minnesota. Number 4, I've got the New York Giants. They're 2-0, and if you look at the total offense and total defense in the league, this is a team. Fourth in offense, fourth in defense. No one else can say that. I've got them at number 4.
They played Washington and the Rams.
They're still fourth in defense, fourth
just
in offense.
Get done so I can give the real top 10.
Number 3, I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers. I dropped them from number 2, not because I disagree with the way they played, the way they won at Cleveland. I dropped them a spot because I think their quarterback's hurt. And I think his shoulder is banged up more than people are led to believe, and I think he's hurt, and I think Philadelphia at number 2 will win against Pittsburgh. And at number 1, of course, I've got the Super Bowl champions, the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, did I say that? Not yet, the Super Bowl champions, but the Dallas Cowboys.
Showing how accurate my NFL power rankings are from week to week, the top 9 remain exactly the same from week 1 to week 2. Some because of wins, some because they played each other and didn't deserve to move because of close losses. But at number 10, I dropped out the New Orleans Saints. They collapsed late against the Washington Redskins. They had that game won and let it get away, and you just can't do that in the NFL. I bring in the New York Giants. I had 5 teams here that were unbeaten: the Giants, Green Bay, Arizona, Buffalo, and Tennessee. I said, who's the best of that bunch right now? I said, all right, I'll give the edge to the Giants as the world champions, coming back with a decimated defense and still getting the job done. But they struggled with St. Louis for a long time on Sunday before pulling away in the fourth quarter. Number 9, the Indianapolis Colts. They're banged up. I can't put them any higher than that. They could be a great football team, but will that translate to wins? I don't know. San Diego is 8. They beat Denver. Okay, they beat Denver. But it was a great football game. I put them on an even plane, and then they flat-out lost to Carolina. You not having Carolina in your top 10 is insane. Chicago Bears, number 7. Again, big lead against Carolina, but it was on the road. Carolina finds a way to win, and that's why I keep them at number 6. Denver is at number 5. New England is at number 4. Again, until these guys get beat, they are a top 5 team in the NFL. Philadelphia, I keep at number 3. I agree with your Pittsburgh Steeler assessment, but I'm going to keep Pittsburgh at 2 this week and Dallas at number 1. If I had to rate those 5 teams that are unbeaten, Giants, then Tennessee, then Buffalo, then Green Bay, then Arizona. Now, that doesn't mean Arizona won't go win their division. It's just the weakest one of what those teams play in.
Absolutely. It certainly doesn't mean that you're right either, but that's just the way
I am. I am. You can't defend half the picks you got there. I'm sorry. Not you, admit Carolina should be in your top 10. Admit it right now.
I've got Carolina right outside my top 10.
Admit that you should have
Tennessee would be ahead of Carolina.
Carolina
for me.
And the Bills play today. Who you got? Who's favored?
If Carolina and the Bills play,
who's favored?
Well, it depends on where
who's favored.
Well, I'll tell you who's favored. I'll go right now to my little Las Vegas sports consultants. If Carolina and the Bills play right now, neutral field, the Bills would be favored by a point. The Bills would be favored
by
a point.
By a point. Okay. All right. We want to thank Dick Beechner, Executive Director of the Nebraska Football or the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame, for joining us today. Also, Nick Hodge, head football coach at Loup City, for joining us on the program. Tomorrow, we talk with Lance Thorell, Nebraska secondary from Loomis. A redshirt freshman is going to join us. Also, Daddy's NFL and college picks for the weekend. Tonight, West Virginia, Colorado. Who you got?
You know what? I went at West Virginia, 11th in the nation. I think they go in there and steal a win.
Colorado at home, Buffs. You can hear it tonight right here on ESPN Radio. Royals at 12:35. Football tonight at 7:30. Enjoy.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.